accession number 29568, Reel 2.
And did you ever have problems there, you know, when they inspected the hut or anything? Was there ever any problems that maybe anyone was disciplined for?
I can't remember. Somebody's kit may have been decided to be untidy or dirty or something, in which case he'd get, what one would get, extra parades or something. I can't remember what the punishments were. Obviously, in serious cases, you went into the guardroom, eventually into prison. But I don't think that ever happened to any of us.
Okay. So you've got your kit, you're in your room, you're starting to get things organised. What about things like drill? Do you remember when you first started drill?
Oh, well, you do that all the time. I think I'm paraded at, I can't remember what hour in the morning. Always, I mean, I think every day there was drill. There was also football and a goodish deal of PT and, of course, the odd runs. I think we did route marches, but certainly we did runs and things.
And how did you manage with things like the drill and that? Were you okay?
Yes, I never had any problem with that. It's just a matter of swinging the arms and staying in step. No problem. And of course, I forgot to say we received with rifle and bayonet too, which had to be kept clean. And then, of course, you also did shooting on the range. And the rifles said they were inspected all the time, make sure they were clean. And the butt, I think it was rather than the sand, I don't know. At Sandhurst, they had to be highly polished, the butt. But I can't remember whether that applied to Fort George too, I can't remember. Anyway, I think probably not. I think that mainly the rifle had to be kept, obviously, clean and properly pulled through to remove all the powder from the bore after the shooting. In fact, you had to boil them out. You pour boiling water down. You take the bolt out and pour boiling water down it, and then pull them through to make sure they're completely clean and dry.
And had you done this type of thing before?
No. I never handled a rifle before in my life.
So do you remember the first time? You remember your, you know, how you felt the first time you were actually holding something like this?
It was just considered perfectly normal, I think. And we did bayonet practice on stuffed dummies and things, which was in out on guard and all that sort of thing. It was quite fun in a way. We enjoyed it on the whole. The weather was very good as far as I remember, as I say, it was quite fun.
Okay. And were you allowed out to Fort George, you know, in the evenings or anything? Were you allowed out to Fort George?
No. I used occasionally to go because the farm manager at Cluny, where I live now's father and mother lived in Nairn. And when you could get permission, I think you were allowed out on a Saturday or something, and I used to go occasionally to them and have a bath, which was very nice, because there weren't any baths. I think we just, I don't think there were showers either. I think we just washed, sort of stripped and washed at the basins, I think. But I don't think one went out much. Wasn't really a lot to do. I suppose we could have gone to the cinema, but the nearest would have been at in Inverness. And anyway, there was a camp cinema where they used to show films which weren't usually quite exciting. I remember once they showed a film about ballet, and the jocks' expression, they looked at this for about 5 minutes, and then the place just erupted with sort of cat calls and everything else that you can probably imagine, and all the unsuitable films to choose.
And this camp cinema, how often do you think they would have shown a film? Was it every night or maybe once a week or something?
Once a week, I would think. I would think once a week, probably at the weekend.
And you've described to us the washing conditions. Doesn't that seem quite primitive to yourself, you know, not having a bath and a shower?
Yes, I think it was quite primitive, but I mean, I got used to it. And plenty of people worse off. No, I got used to it.
Okay. And when you were allowed out, do you remember if you had to wear a uniform or were you allowed
Yes, you had to wear a uniform. We hadn't, our civilian clothes were taken away on arrival. And we had to wear a uniform and pass the guard room on the way out to make sure you looked smart. And then check in again. I think you probably gave your name also, and then you checked in when you came back.
And do you think it was quite restricted? Was there a certain time that you had to be back in by or something?
Yes, I think there probably was. 10:30. Yes, I'm quite sure it was. You wouldn't have been allowed out all night, certainly not, no.
And do you ever remember going to the guard room and they said, well, you're not presentable enough or something?
No, I think one made sure one was.
Okay.
No, I don't think one had trouble there.
Okay. And you've mentioned females with, the ATS and the food.
And the Army Cajun Corps, yes.
Was there any other females on the fort? You know, did they have the women's army at that point or anything?
I'm trying to think what happened in the Nappy. I think there probably were the Nappy girls. I can't remember what one bought in the Nappy. There were sort of cakes and bits and pieces. It wasn't anything very starting. I don't think it was anything cooked. I think it was just and cigarettes, of course. And payday, I think, was Friday, and by Thursday one was getting pretty poor, and you could buy woodbines in twos, I remember, on a Thursday night. You didn't even buy a packet of five. and I think they were probably dished out by Nappy girls, but I haven't much recollection really.
Okay. Did your parents not send you any extra money?
My father gave me a very small allowance, and I think occasionally one used to cash a cheque for a pound if one got a bit short. But on the whole, one lived, and indeed we were encouraged to. I think it related probably more to the poorer section of poverty. We were encouraged to send some of our pay home by way, I suppose, of thank you to the mother. And I used to send a shilling out of my fall to my sister as a sort of just the right thing to do. But anyway. Once survived. Things were quite cheap.
Okay. And what about communications with home? How did you manage?
Never crossed one's mind to ring up or anything. I suppose we used to write the odd letter. There was no system of inspecting, I don't think. People didn't telephone in those days at all. I suppose there probably was a telephone there. We never saw one.
Okay. And whilst you were going through this training as well, were you getting any regimental history, or was it...
No, because it was all universal, the six. I think I'm right in saying that. Whether we told something about the HLI because it was the holding company, I can't remember. I rather doubt it.
Okay. And so, did you actually finish your basic training before that you knew you were actually going for officer training, or...
Because I mean that's not the end of the basic training. After that, one went to Warminster in Wiltshire for I think 6 weeks, and then we went to. So we then went to Warminster, which we all said was to bring the Highland regiments and the guards down to the standard of the county regiment, bring the county regiments up to it's a sort of make level everybody else to some extent. But we reckon we were very much the we and the guards very much the elite of the army, and Warminster was to be the sort of leveller.
Okay, and how did you feel with this very first set of training? You know, your basic training. How did you feel after? You know, after having been eaten, and you'd been in the army cadets there, and you didn't really like it. You know, how did you feel once you were actually in the army?
Well, it was fine. It's just one took no interest at all in the thing at Eton. I think one living very much for the moment then, and yes, that's right. Yes, and also, I just refreshing my memory, and also we went to the small arms school at Hyde also before going to Sandhurst. It's here on the CV. So after Fort George to Warminster and then to Hyde in Kent, the small arms school.
Okay. Now, when you left Fort George, had you had your passing out parade for your basic training when you left Fort George?
Had I had?
Your passing out parade.
Passing out parade. I expect so. I can't really remember. I can't remember how one got from Fort George to Warminster. I think we were given warrants, obviously. I suppose it would have been back to Aberdeen and then down to London and down to Warminster. I mean, by train, I suppose. Okay. I have no recollection of it at all.
Uh-huh. And at the very start of this basic training as well, did you have a Gordon Highlanders kilt? Were they issued?
Yes. Yes, we had a kilt for Bet, yes. Yes.
Okay.
So and a Balmoral bonnet with a cap badge.
Okay. And so you went down to Warminster. Now, will you describe a Warminster to us as well, please?
Well, it was the... I'm trying to think what they called the court. It wasn't a platoon commander's course. When I thought I wasn't a platoon commander then. I think it was just further basic training, I think. And it was living in trenches. I mean, not obviously all the time, but using Salisbury Plain for exercising. I remember what was little about Warminster, actually. Except the food we thought was better.
Did you have better accommodation?
I would imagine so, because we wouldn't have been in huts with holes in the floor. But I have absolutely no recollection of what the accommodation... I don't know, it's a sort of blank, actually. Warminster and Hyde, what the accommodation was like. I imagine we were in barracks.
Did you still keep the same uniform, or did they change your uniform?
Well, we wore denims, of course, most of the time. I mean, all through the day, every sort of activity, one wore denims, and at Fort George too, of course. It was only just for being smart. I think we wore denims for drill too. But I suppose occasionally we must have put on something, a battle dress and something a bit better.
And were you still getting drill and physical education?
Oh yes, all that sort of stuff went on, and small arms training, and it was a continuation of the basic training, and mine's complete blank about it. What we did there.
Do you remember at Hyde when you say small arms training, what type of arms they actually did?
Well, small arms, i.e. rifle, and I suppose pistols, and machine gun, of course, and the Bren machine gun, which I think we also got at Fort George, I think. But mainly it was the embassy. I think it was probably 4 weeks. I haven't got a photograph of the people at Hyde. No, I haven't got a photograph either of it. I think it was a 4-week course at Hyde, but again, I'm guessing. And I have a complete blank about what we did there.
Okay.
I just remember going out fishing with a friend in Folkestone Harbour and being cut in half by the channel, the ferry. We weren't all looking, and suddenly, all of a sudden, this thing was bearing down. I think that's about all I remember there.
Okay. So you were moving to Sandhurst after that?
Yes, and one went there in January, I think. In January 1950, I suppose it must have been. I think it was it in January? I can't remember now. I suppose it probably was. It would be logical, it would fit in, all those other things in the winter. And anyway, for sometime early in 1950.
Okay. And for going to Sandhurst, had you to change your uniform or anything like that, or did you still keep the same uniform?
I think we arrived in civilian clothes. One wore civilian clothes there, at certain amounts. They were given back when we left Fort George. I think we arrived in civilian clothes, and Sandhurst, there were three colleges, New, Old, and Victory. And I was in Victory College. There were various photos of it in here. And you had a room to yourself, which, of course, was a great privilege. And you had a soldier servant who, I think, I don't know how many people he looked after, but he made the bed. And it was really a continuation of the same thing, except, of course, on a much larger scale and a much higher standard to anything else.
Do you remember your soldier's name, the man who helped you?
He was called Cotton. I don't think I never knew his surname. Certainly, I knew his first name. I can't. It'll come back to me in due course.
And did you have to pay for this service?
No. It was provided. Yeah. I think he did for quite a number of people. He may have done for a floor, half a floor. I mean, I really can't remember.
Okay. And I know that you say that you've got pictures of Victory College, but will you please describe it to us?
What the building, or
yes.
Well, it's just a huge building. It took there were four four companies in it, or three platoons each. That's 12. It therefore took accommodated four companies, and therefore it must have taken about, I suppose, nearly 300 people. It's 250 to 300, I suppose, with a communal messing area and a thing called the FGS, which is a smarter form of the NAFI, standing for Fancy Goods Store, where you could buy rather better things than we could at Fort George, I think. And that all took place there. And one had, obviously, a company commander who was a major. Their names were Harvey and a platoon commander, people obviously had been through the war, and RSMs, obviously from the Guards, RSMs and CSMs, company sergeant major, regimental sergeant, and of course the famous RSM Lord, who was well known throughout the world for his, he was the overall RSM of the whole place. A very nice man, but we're all terrified of him, needless to say. But I mean, if one spoke to him later, when it was all over, he was a charming man.
Okay. And was it an old building, you know?
Yes, I don't know how old. Well, there's a picture of it here. I have absolutely no idea how old it was. Yes, there's part of it. Yes, that was what one of the buildings looked like. The sort of wings and there.
Okay.
I think that is probably, I don't know whether that was Victory College or not, but I mean, that's what they looked like.
Okay.
Yes, that's better still.
Okay. And inside them as well, were they very grand compared to what you'd been accustomed to?
Well, it was a little room. I suppose it's probably about the size of this room, and corridors, and yes, I mean, it was, and I suppose the floors were terrazzo or something. I really can't remember, but something, yes, I mean, certainly a step up from Fort George, yes.
Okay. And the men who were with you in Sandhurst as well, had any of them been at school with you, or...?
Just the odd one, and the our Fort George intake was distributed throughout Sandhurst, and therefore one didn't necessarily get... I think one chap happened to come into the same company. But generally they were spread out, and one met a different lot of people. But certainly there was the odd Etonian there throughout the college.
Okay, and you've said that you had a room to yourself. What about the toilet facilities, and the toilet and shower facilities?
I think there was a communal bathroom, I imagine. I have no recollection of that. Yeah, I would think so. Mm. Certainly, we didn't have. Certainly, wasn't en suite or anything like that. Yeah.
Okay then. And how long were you actually at Sandhurst?
18 months.
Okay. Now, during this 18 months, what type of training did they give you at Sandhurst?
Really, exactly the same as being in Heading Hall. There was a lot of ceremonial stuff. There was assault courses and those sort of things, shooting, I mean, you know, range, and just the general thing.
Okay, and was it to a more intensive level than you'd got previously?
Yes, It was. It was more intensive, yes. Yes.
Okay.
And I think it was certainly a much more higher standard of turnout and drill and that sort of thing, yes.
Mm-hmm. And was there still, like, room inspections? Did you still get kit inspections?
No, I don't think we did. No, we got inspected on parade. There was a parade every morning at, I can't remember what hour, where you turned out in your uniform. And you get in, you got inspected there. I don't think the rooms got inspected. I don't think. I think the poor wretched solar servants are supposed to keep them tidy, I think. Not that there was a great deal to make it untidy. I mean, we hadn't all that many possessions.
And for the parades as well, did you always pass your inspection on the parade ground?
I think one got one used to get into trouble from time to time, but I never got into serious trouble. I can't remember what the sort of minor punishments were. I really can't remember. It may sound ridiculous, but I don't think one on the whole one did have problems.
Okay, and you mentioned that the food was better at Sandhurst as well.
Yes, yes, it improved all along the line, mm-hmm. and it was much more civilised too. It's sort of the whole business, if you know what I mean. Because the worst thing about Port George, I think, was the washing up, where they had three baths of water called wash, clean and sterilise, I think, or something. And you can imagine what the first one got. Like, as soon as you finished something, you ran it through the system. And if you got in early, it was fine. But by the time, otherwise, it was really getting fairly nasty by the time you were through the thing. So I mean, it was much worse. Sandhurst, obviously, we were waited on, and stuff was brought to one. It was getting much more civilised.
Yeah, so you didn't have to do your own washing up or anything like that at Sandhurst.
No.
Okay, and when you say that as well, you were waited on. I've got images of a more grand place, and you know, was it like a dining hall or something?
Yes, well, I think it's supposed to be, after all, directed at officers, as opposed to the brutal and licentious soldiery. I think it's to exactly.
Okay.
Whether you approve of officers getting preferential treatment is another matter, but I think that was the intention.
And was it just officers for the British Army who were there, or was it for maybe Commonwealth nations as well at that point, you know, at Sandhurst?
So you're going to do...
At Sandhurst, was it just officers purely for the British regiments, or...
I see. There was a number of overseas students. We had a couple of Sinhalese, or Sri Lankans, if we can't call them now, in my company, and all sorts of people, I think. I mean, the King of Jordan went there, and all sorts of people, and I think certainly the Sinhalese went back to the Sinhalese army. And yes, there were always overseas people.
Okay.
We had a chap from Malta, I remember, and there was a few. Not too many black people, I don't think, i.e. Africans, but because after all, I suppose they were they can't have been only Commonwealth. Because Jordan wasn't. Anyway.
There were.
I think in the main it was the Commonwealth. So.
Right, okay. And you mentioned your rifle and things. Do you actually remember the type of rifle they gave you?
Oh, it's a good old Lee Enfield 303. The normal thing with not a blade bayonet, but a point. I describe it as circular, pointed bayonet.
Okay. And whilst you were at Sandhurst, did you...
Am I telling you a lie? Sorry, I think we've got fixed bayonets here. No, we haven't. Not fixed. I can't remember. Anyway, I think unimportant.
Okay. And whilst you were at Sandhurst as well, with your rifle, did you actually keep that? Was it your rifle?
Yes, it was issued to you, and you had to keep an eye on it, make sure it wasn't pinched, and it had to be highly polished, all the woodwork. Had to be highly polished and shone like your boots.
Mm-hmm. And did you actually do that, or did the soldier do it?
One did that myself. Yes, one responsible for cleaning all one's own kit. But I think he just made beds and tidied it. I think that was all.
Okay, so you still had to look after your own kit, and now your rifle and that.
Yes, yes.
And did your rifle stay in your room with you, you know, or did you hand it in every night?
Good question. I think we must have had... I can't remember. You think one ought to be able to, but I can't. It'd be awful muddle if we'd handed them in all the time, but... I can't remember what happened to them.
Okay. And at Sandhurst as well, did you have like what you would call more lessons in like a classroom situation?
Yes, yes. I learned German there and biology. It was a bit like going back to school. I'm afraid I find both German and biology much more interesting than my army studies, I'm afraid. But there it was. No, you're quite right. There were other academic things too.
Okay. And what type of things were they lecturing you in army life? You know, was it how to run a regiment or something?
Yes, not a regiment, because that would come later, after one was a general or something. But no, I mean, how to run a platoon and the composition of a regiment and a battalion and a division and all those sort of things. And the ancillary services that went with them, which is something we hadn't... We'd just been locked into shape. Now one had to try and learn the broader picture of the army one's going to go into. And of course a certain amount of history too, and we used to have to give lecturettes on some subject that we chose and on some military subject to generally to prepare one for, I suppose, for the next stage.
And were you being continually assessed or tested, you know, whilst you were going through Sandhurst? Or were there proper tests, you know, like proper written tests?
Yes. You were graded at the end of the... I think probably at the end of each term. There were three terms in the 18 months. From 1 to 9, 1 being the worst, 9 being the top. And I suppose the results of one's... I suppose we had written exams. I think we must have done. Yes, I'm sure we did. And essays and all the usual sorts of junk that goes on at school. All eventually added up to the place at the number at which you pass out from 1 to 10,000 or no, not 10,000, 1,000. And depending on how well you did or how bad you did, you could then get the regiment of your choice. And it was difficult to get into the Highland Regiments and the Gurkhas and possibly the Guards, I think, and dead simple to get into the RAOC, the Royal Army Ordnance Corps, where the few very colourblind people sort of would go automatically, and those that really weren't the world's greatest soldiers.
So did that put a bit of pressure on you?
Yes, oh yes, it did indeed. It was supposed to, yes, very much, to keep one up to the mark, because one is being observed. Most of the time too, obviously, it was quite high pressure stuff.
So did you find that you had to do maybe quite a bit of studying, you know, in your own free time or something?
Yes, one was expected to do that, yes, yep.
And may I ask which number you eventually...
I think I passed out 83rd or something, I think something like that, which is not particularly good, but at least it wasn't 500 or something. But I wouldn't have got into the Gordons if it's been a lot lower, I don't think. I'd been accepted provisionally by the colonel of the regiment, who was then a fellow called Willie Graham, subject obviously to passing out adequately. So one knew that as long as one passed out all right, one would get the choice.
And when you say he accepted you provisionally, did you have a meeting with him? Discuss this or anything?
I suppose I must have done. He lived not far from where I live now. He lived near Bankery. Yes, I suppose so. I suppose school reports were just... I don't know how it worked. I suppose one was considered a bit sort of acceptable. I don't know how, I can't remember how the system worked.
Okay then.
Right.